From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. At least more than 56 million Indonesians have received their first COVID-19 vaccine shots as of Thursday afternoon, the COVID-19 Response Task Force has reported. According to data from the task force, the number of people receiving their first dose increased by more than 800,000 compared to the previous day. Overall, Indonesia is seeking to vaccinate more than 200 million of its citizens to build herd immunity against the coronavirus under the nationwide vaccination drive rollout on January 13, 2021. Earlier, President Joko Widodo had said that the government is targeting to administer 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine by the end of August 2021. Only a limited number of micro, small, medium enterprises, MSMEs in Indonesia are using government assistance. Senior economist with the Asian Development Bank, ADB, Shigehiro Shinozaki has said. Based on data supplied by 2,509 Indonesian MSMEs during a survey, the ADB has found that most MSMEs are availing the ultra-micro assistance unveiled by the president. However, they only make up 22% of the MSMEs surveyed, Shinozaki noted during a webinar on Asian Impact, ADB Research in Action, Access from Jakarta on Thursday. The government needs to further describe gradual and different approaches depending on the sizes and business sectors of MSMEs and give much support for entrepreneurship and capital distribution growth. Spokesperson for the COVID-19 vaccination program of the Health Ministry, Siti Nadia Tarmizi, has urged 10 Indonesian provinces to intensify testing and tracing to detect transmission of the Delta variant as early as possible. The government on this part has continued to carry out virus genome sequencing to monitor the transmission of the Delta variant in the country. More than 5,000 sequencing samples have been inspected, with 80% of the result being the Delta variant as August 18, 2021. At an online press conference on Thursday, Siti Nadia urged the 10 local governments to exercise cautions by increasing testing and tracing to detect cases caused by the new variant. Therefore, currently the ministry is working with the regional governments to immediately update data. The government must ensure terrestrial television broadcasting is accessible to all viewers after passing out the analog system. Dean of the Faculty of Communication Studies of the Pajajaran University, Dadang Rahmat Hidayat, has said during a webinar on the planned analog switch-off on Thursday. The authority should also prepare a backup plan to address potential failure to receive digital signals in rural areas. The main goal of broadcasting digitization is to provide better signal quality as viewers will have more choice of television channels. It is therefore essential to ensure no viewers are left behind by the digital transition. The government has planned to switch off analog signals from April 2022 when the first transition phase will commence. The final phase is expected to conclude by the end of 2022. Let's move on to the international news. Agriculture and food ministers from APEC's 21 member economies have reaffirmed their commitment to an open, transparent, productive, sustainable, and resilient APEC food system by launching a new 10-year food security roadmap. A World Bank policy brief has shown that nearly 2.37 billion people lack access to adequate food in 2020, an increase of 320 million in just 1 year, according to a press release issued by the 6th APEC Ministerial Meeting on Food Security and received on Thursday. The meeting, which was chaired by New Zealand Ministers of Agriculture Damien O'Connor, adopted the APEC Food Security Roadmap towards 2030. The roadmap details goals and key actions areas where APEC is well placed to help ensure people always have access to sufficient, safe, affordable, and nutritious food to meet their dietary needs and food preferences for an active and healthy life. New Zealand's COVID-19 outbreak widened beyond its largest cities, Auckland, on Friday as new infections were discovered in the capital, Wellington, and case numbers jumped to 31. The finding meant Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern will most likely extend a nationwide lockdown that she announced this week to try and curb the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of COVID-19. New Zealanders were living virus-free and without curbs for nearly 6 months until Ardern ordered a snap 3-day nationwide lockdown on Tuesday after a case was found in Auckland, the first in the country since February. The government is now facing questions over a delayed vaccine rollout as well as rising costs in a country heavily reliant on an immigrant workforce. Just about 19% of the country's 5.1 million population has been fully vaccinated so far, the slowest among OECD nations. Asian shares extended losses on Friday from the 2021 low set a day earlier, while the dollar held onto its recent gains, sitting at the 9-month high. A day earlier, Asian and European stock markets and oil fell sharply, and the dollar rose to a 9-month high after the prospect of the Federal Reserve cutting back bond purchases spooked investors. This also sent the dollar to its highest level since early November, gains which it held onto on Friday. The U.S. Federal Reserve will hold its annual research conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, next week. That was the news. After 20 years of war, the Taliban managed to seize power from the Afghan government, which was strongly backed by the United States and its allies. The world is extremely surprised. Some are even trying to deeply understand the fact that Kabul has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. Some are pessimistic about the future of Afghanistan, but others are trying to be realistic. Since Monday, the day after the Taliban occupied Kabul, the group have continued to try to change their political style and shift from physical combat to diplomacy. The Taliban continued to convince the world of the legitimacy of their rule. Quoting Antara News Agency at a press conference, Taliban's main spokesman, Zahibullah Mujahid, asked the international community to recognize their rule over Afghanistan. He also made promises, including that everyone would be forgiven, even those who had worked with the previous government or with foreign governments. The Taliban also promised to respect women's rights, but within the norms of Islamic law. The question is, will the Taliban change and fulfill their promises? US President Joe Biden said the Taliban would never change, especially regarding the group's basic principles. Although the Taliban have vowed to implement a more open government and guarantee women's rights, President Biden is pessimistic that the group can implement a democratic system in Afghanistan. He insists that economic and diplomatic pressures, not military force, is needed to ensure that the Taliban protect and guarantee women's rights in Afghanistan. The concerns of the Afghan people over the rule of the Taliban is very understandable, given the past history. Not only the Afghan people, but also the world asked the Taliban to show through concrete action, not by promises and statements, so they can dispel the fear of many people about the guarantee of freedom and security in the country. If Biden is pessimistic, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, is not. The UN agency is optimistic that it can cooperate with the Taliban, especially in supporting education for children and women. The Taliban are currently in the euphoria of victory and will continue to speak in an idealistic setting. But they should not only promise. The words must be realized in order to be able to create a positive image that is far from violence, thus they can obtain recognition and support of the international community.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
We begin today in history on August 20, 1968, when Warsaw Apache Army invaded Prague. On August 20, 1968, the Warsaw Apache, led by the Soviet Union, invaded Prague, Czechoslovakia. This was the Soviet Union's way to suppress the reformation movement initiated by the first secretary of Czechoslovakian Communist Party, Alexander Dubček. The Soviet Union troops, supported by Poland, Bulgaria and Hungary, occupied the country while repressing the people. Both Alexander Dubček and the Prague Spring Movement were stopped. Next, on August 20, 2003, Suramadu Bridge development was inaugurated. Suramadu Bridge is a bridge located across the Madura Strait, Indonesia, connecting Java and Madura Island. With a total 5,438 meters in length, Suramadu is the longest bridge in Indonesia. It consists of three parts, namely an overpass, connecting bridge, and the main bridge. Suramadu Bridge development was inaugurated by President Megawati Sukarnoputri on August 20, 2003. Later, it was inaugurated for the public by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 10, 2009. Last is on August 20, 2008, Spanair flight JK5022 crashed. Spanair flight JK5022 fell in a short flight from Barajas Airport in Madrid to Gran Canaria Airport in Gran Canaria, Spain, on August 20, 2008. From 172 passengers and crews, 154 were killed and only 18 survived. This became the worst aviation incident in West Europe after the Lockerbie bombing in 1988. The Spanair flight JK5022 aircraft suffered an engine fire and fell near the runway. It then split into two and exploded several times.
Katakan ku tak cinta isi hatiku hanyalah sayang. Perasaanku tak lebih dan tak kurang menganggapmu sahabat terindah. Rasa cinta di hati sayang tak maksudku lukai hatimu. Katakan ku tak cinta, tapi gimana aku pun tak mengerti mengapa rasa itu tak pernah ada.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bank Indonesia and Bank of Thailand launched a cross-border quick response or QR payment system between Indonesia and Thailand in order to facilitate financial and economic transactions between the two countries. The pre-official launching of the international QRIS was held in Jakarta on Tuesday. On the occasion, Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio thanked the Bank of Thailand because they have jointly realized the two countries' dream to connect the Quick Response Code Indonesian Standards, or QRIS, and QR Thailand Standard to bring the economy forward. Governor Peri said that with a cross-border QR, consumers and sellers in both countries can perform and accept instant payments for goods and services. Peri also stated that the pre-official launching of the cross-border QRIS is also a historical moment for Indonesia. This shows that Indonesia cannot stand alone. Instead, Indonesia must synergize and help each other for the nation's advancement. At this stage, Indonesian users can use the cellular payment application to scan the Thailand QR codes, while Thailand users can also use their own apps to scan the QRIS. This is the first connection that links retail payment system operators in the two countries, so this becomes a milestone in the Asian payment connectivity initiatives that aims to promote financial integrity in the region. In this pre-official phase, Bank Indonesia hopes that there will be more banks and non-banks that participate while processing to the full commercial phase to be launched in the first quarter of 2022. Later, the service will be expanded to allow the users in two countries to perform a real-time fund transfer easily just by referring to the recipient's phone numbers.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Menunggu semua yang masih belum pasti.
menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindar.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting over dragging. van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce one of the Gayo typical dances in Aceh, namely Sining Dance. Sining Dance is considered to have existed in the 18th and early 19th century. In the life of the Gayo people in the past, the dance was held into two traditional processions. The processions when building a new house and the procession for bathing and acknowledging the king. In the procession of building a house, the Sining Dance is danced on a wood that crosses between two foundations with a height of 8 to 12 meters above the ground level. The day before, this dance is also performed on a tray or a container, carrying food and moving a closer position to the ground. Sining Dance is also played when inaugurating or crowning a king. The dance is held in the field or closely to a water source. As part of the coronation procession, the Sining Dance is also held annually to the king as a symbol of self-ablution for any mistakes during his leadership. The Sining Dance movement is very dynamic and heroic. It is not easy for people to do this dance on wood. Infrequently, the dancers do fasting one day before dancing, so that magical religious elements are also attached to this dance. The dancers of this dance are usually male. This dance is accompanied by mystical and powerful poetry. Sining Dance can be described as a beautiful, dynamic, symbolic, and an energetic dance which depicts and imitates the movement of the Unggau and Wolf birds. The philosophy of this dance is a symbol of strength, shade, peace, and harmony between the occupants of the house and nature. Sining Dance is now rarely performed. It has never been staged in quite a long time. Therefore, in 2017, the Director General of Culture of the Ministry of Education and Culture through the Directorate of Arts revitalized this dance. One of the efforts is to reconstruct the dance based on continuous research and long discussions with the local cultural experts and academicians. In spite of being rarely performed, Sining Dance is not considered almost extinct completely, because the elements of the Sining Dance movement are still used in other traditional dances in Gayo, although it is not comprehensive.
Oh, oh. Kau yang bangunkanku dari mimpi burukku. Kau hangatkan hatiku yang dulu sempat membeku. Kau yang lelapkanku dari masa selalu ku kau katakan padaku, hanya aku di hatimu. Tadinya ku berpikir engkaulah untukku, tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, oh, oh. Kau yang lelapkan aku dari masa laluku. Kau katakan padaku, hanya aku di hatimu. Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelah ku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Student of the Faculty of Cultural Sciences, University of Indonesia, created an innovation for learning literature in the form of board games and cards with a theme of Indonesian literature called the Indonesian Language and Literature Game Board, or Paman Sandi. This innovation was initiated by Paman Sandi's Students Creativity Program Team for Entrepreneurship. The idea for this innovation stems from their discovery of data from the Indonesian Survey Institute in 2018 about the lack of interest in studying literature in Indonesia. From the problem, the three UI students got an idea to form Paman Sandi as a non-book literature learning product. In addition to the literary elements, Paman Sandi's product raises the language element, which is applied to the questions. This is also based on the inequality of the names of national writers who are better known than regional writers. The shape of this game is like the Uno game card, with a shape like a rectangular net that can be disassembled into a board. This game is also packed with 40 literary cards, which are the main points of the game. On each literary card, there are two sides of information. On the front side, there is brief information about face illustrations, place of birth, date, works of Indonesian writers, as well as interesting facts about the writers. Meanwhile, on the back side of the card, there are three questions about language and related to the interesting facts of the writer, as well as a quote from the writer's literary work. This game relies on the cards that the players get, and the system is to exchange cards and answer questions on the card. Each player is asked the question what card he wants to have with other players. For example, a red card from the Java Island. If the player can answer the question posed by the opposing player who holds the red Java Island card, he or she is entitled to the literary card. That's miscellany.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Menunggu semua yang masih belum pasti, menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Mau tahu apa yang menarik hatiku, yang bisa menghadirkan cinta dalam tidurmu? Jika belum ada yang mengisinya, aku mau. Aku cinta. Aku cinta. Aku cinta. Aku cinta.
aku mau.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a song from Betawi or Jakarta entitled Jali Jali, to be sung and rearranged by Dildil. This song tells about the life of a girl who does not have a boyfriend. She can go anywhere without anyone stopping her until she finally finds a man she loves. This rhyme-shaped song has been popular in Indonesia since 1942 and popularized by the Kroncong Orchestra M. Sagi. This song is believed by the natives of Jakarta or the Betawi people as a cultural fashion of Chinese descendants in Jakarta. Although it is not known who created it, this song was introduced in the rhythm of gambang kromong music. Here is the song from Betawi or Jakarta entitled Jali Jali, sung and rearranged by Dildil.
Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia.
Hey kamu di situ, aku butuh penjelasanmu tentang semua tingkah lakumu tiap hari manjakan diriku. Sejak saat itu kau
Pasti.